I'm Derek Bird of Fly Fusion Magazine, and today I caught up with Mark Crapo, who just came in on the Millennium Falcon, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Mark is an IF4 ambassador, amongst other things. He's an internet sensation as well. So welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Derek. I appreciate it.
I wanted to chat with you today about one of the films or the film that you have in the International Fly Fishing Film Festival this year. And
sure.
So by way, just give me like a minute or so to introduce it, because it's funny, because I knew that I was going to have this interview with you today. And honestly, the best thing happened yesterday, as far as introduction, and there's no way that I could have set this up. It was so good. So I actually took my son out for lunch yesterday, and I'm standing in line in the subway line. And a lady from behind me says, "Hey, are you the International Fly Fishing Film Festival guy?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." She said, "Oh, my husband and my son went the other day and to your festival the other day, and they absolutely loved it. He couldn't he She said my son couldn't stop talking about it." And then she said, "You know which film he was talking about the most?" She said he was talking about Neckbeard. He wouldn't stop talking about Neckbeard. And I was like, "Oh wow, that's so cool," because honestly, like in my
Funny.
mind, I was like, you know, when I previewed all the films this year, I was like, there was, you know, I was like, "Oh, this is a really cool film," but I thought it might be the dark horse. But no, man, like whenever I'm in a theater watching it with an audience or a crowd, you get huge reaction. Yeah, and like, I mean, we've met a bunch of times now, Mark, and I have to say, like when I watched Neckbeard, I was like, "Oh man, this is so Mark. This is who you are, right?" And so there's probably some kind of true to yourself when you're out there filming stuff like this, hey?
Yeah. Well, I somehow I'm an eccentric person. Surprise, surprise. But somehow I'm a magnet for eccentrics and interesting characters, and they just are drawn to me. They just pop. I don't have to search them out. I have years and years of archived footage of legendary characters like Neckbeard that will blow people's minds. And not all of them are in fishing. They're just random people that I meet everywhere I go. And so they're all kind of part of the Beard Chronicles.
And that was, I mean, like when I saw this footage of Neckbeard, I mean the beard itself is like, I mean, I don't even know a word to describe the beard itself. Like it's I mean, for some might find it somewhat repulsive, others are like just so drawn to it, right? But like how long have you been shooting footage of Neckbeard? Was it something that you captured last summer, or is it something that you've been kind of
Oh,
you know, is it
good
a
question.
culmination of filming over years of work type thing, or what's the
Well,
story on that?
Well, if you watch the video, you'll see that I kind of skip back and forth in time, and I run through a time. I go back into 2012 when it was midge-apocalypse on the Henry Fork, and that's when I met Neckbeard because he was fishing in my spot.
Has Bruce, also known as Neckbeard, or maybe more famously known as Neckbeard now, has he
Right.
seen the film? And if so, how did
No,
he react?
nope.
Oh, he hasn't seen
He
it.
has never seen. So he Bruce has by 2013 he learned that he was famous on the internet, which may be overstating it, but somebody told him he wasn't, so it really made his day. He does not have a computer. He doesn't have a cell phone. He doesn't have a television. He's never been on the internet, and he fishes every single day.
Wow.
I mean, he just is out fishing. He fishes
Yeah.
more than anybody I have ever heard of or known. He's like the Rip Van Winkle of fishing or something. You know, he's just so out there, like, you know, this omnipresent character, you know.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
he'll rarely fish in the same spot twice, 2 days in a row, because he doesn't want the fish to get wise to his tactics, his neckbeard tactics.
Know, for those people that are listening in that maybe haven't seen, you know, a film with Mark in it or seen photos of Mark, I mean, you yourself have an absolutely spectacular beard. Is
Thank you.
one of the re one of the one of the reasons that the connection was so strong between you and Neckbeard, because you can see it on film, like you guys have a good relationship Was it
Right.
because of, the mutual beard respect, or where did
I
that
think
come from?
I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, if he was just some lurpy old guy that was clean shaven, I probably wouldn't have talked to him, you know. You know, I'm sorry to discriminate against all those clean shaved people out there, but you know, really not pulling down the interest that someone with, say, a neck beard could pull down. It's quite impressive. I mean, he's pretty proud of it too, and he's convinced that the world is jealous of his neck beard. I mean, you know, he says that people just lose their minds. You know, he'll be sitting in the Ryrie bar, he says, and somebody will come up to him and just lose their mind about his beard, and he says they're just jealous. Yeah, he knows. He knows.
So with your jumping back to your beard, because it truly is a thing of beauty. I mean, it's ginger and all that goodness. Is it something that you've sported for pretty much your whole life? Like, is it kind of an out of the womb type thing, or is it
That's a
last few
good,
years, or?
that's a valid question. Ever since I was in diapers, I knew I was going to grow a beard because my dad, when we were kids, he would tuck us in at night and he'd sing us songs and he would take us, you know, he'd have a 5 o'clock shadow by the evening time. And one thing that he would always do is he would rub his whiskers on us when he'd hug us. And he'd say, I'm planting my whisker seeds on you so you can grow a good beard when you're a man, you know?
Wow,
And
so you
so
came by it honestly then.
I mean, I just thought I was always going to have a beard because my dad planted whisker seeds on me when I was a little kid, you know?
Well, it all
Hey,
makes sense,
rub those whisker seeds all over my little baby face.
right? So not to give too much away in the film, because I do obviously want people to come out and watch it,
Yeah,
but there
well,
is a
they're going
point in the film, in the Neckbeard film, where you eat a rather chunky stonefly. And because
to.
I know I'll never try one,
Dude.
give me a detailed version of what the stonefly tastes like. Like, I'm talking
Okay.
texture, taste. Is it something that would be better with hollandaise sauce?
It
let
just
our let our
depends on.
listeners know.
Okay, it depends on if you like hollandaise sauce or not. But here's the way that I look at it. First of all, you know, where I live in Idaho, I mean, there is prehistoric evidence, you know, everywhere. I mean, there is evidence of fishing going on there for thousands of years, and campsites and all kinds of things. But my thing is this: I can guarantee you that the natives were eating salmon flies back then. And I figured if I wanted to get down with the true program, then I need to see what time it was as far as that goes. And so I tried a female. That's the one with the caviar on the rear. And those females taste like horrible. Like you don't even want to do it. It's just bitter. But you can always tell the females from the males. The males are a little bit smaller, and they don't have the egg sac. And so the males just taste like Scooby Snacks. They're fine. They're just good. They're you know, it tastes like dirt, you know. It tastes like something out of the garden. If you've ever gone in your garden and pulled like a carrot out of the garden, it had a little dirt still on it, and you washed the dirt off and you ate the carrot, but you still tasted the dirt. That's what a salmon fly tastes like. And I
Now
bet
that's
if they were a little bit roasted, I bet they were delicious.
yeah, maybe a little bit roasted with like, I don't know, like barbecue sauce or something like that.
Or some sriracha and honey. That would be amazing.
Right, well, I'm gonna take your word for it, because
Okay.
I don't know if I'll be downing any of those soon, but there's a couple of brilliant shorts floating around on the internet, and in my mind, one of my favorites of you is the one that you did for Patagonia and their new waiters.
Oh,
So yeah, I mean, I love the comedy in it, right? Like,
sure.
you're out there in the snow and these waiters, and I mean, the tripping scene at the end, it makes me laugh out loud every time. So, like, where do you come up with this stuff? Was that something that, like, did you right from the start of filming that, were you like, okay, and then I'm going to end with the tripping over the ladder? or did that was that something that just kind of happened? Like, how did that work?
That's a good question. I had cleared that hurdle three times in a row, and I was starting to get, you know, pretty cocky about it. And
yeah.
not realizing that, not remembering or taking into account that I haven't jumped a hurdle in since, you know, I was 15 years old.
Right.
So, just a small amount of muscle fatigue. You know, I was out of shape. You know, what can I say? And I took the jump a little bit too early. It's hard to judge. You just have to go for it.
Right.
And if you don't commit, you're going to wipe out. And if you commit, you could wipe out if you jump too soon. And I jumped too soon, and I ate it so hard.
Well, I speak for many people when I say that that your pain in that circumstance was caused you know, a lot of laughter, kind of, for anybody that clicked through to that for that Patagonia video. I mean, it was just comedic genius. So I love that kind of comedy. And thank you again, Mark, for joining me today. For those of you that joined in and listened to our interview today, make sure, if you haven't seen The Legend of Neckbeard yet, you really have to, you know, really have to get out and see that. It's a special piece. So thanks again, Mark, for joining us today. And, before you leave, we talked a little bit about the Millennium Falcon makes an appearance in your film. Let us know. Give us an insight.
So the Millennium Falcon is a car that, I've wanted to own for many years. I named it the Millennium Falcon just because it's pretty much the Millennium Falcon. Because if you recall, I used to have that Toyota 4x4 van.
Right.
And so the van was a cop magnet. I got pulled over more times in a short period of time than I did in 10 years of living in Idaho when I owned that van.
Right.
And it was for no other reason than to profile me. I mean, they didn't have any reason to pull me over, and they just wanted to take a look inside, you know? I'm like, yeah, fishing poles and a cot that I sleep on. What else do you want? You know what I mean? So anyway, the Falcon is the Falcon because it's like invisible. Like it's like I'm perpetually in warp speed and no cops can see me. Nobody's bothering me. It looks like I've got to be like a grandpa that still drives his old school 86 Toyota 4x4 wagon. The thing's awesome. And it mobs in the snow.
Yeah.
And so it cost me $800. What can you ask for? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, put a new alternator in it, put some new tires on it, and she mobs like it's her job.
Right. And so, So the 80s didn't just produce amazing music then. It produced the Millennium Falcon as well.
Yeah, I've owned a lot of good cars from the 80s. The Falcon is one of them. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Mark, for giving us some insight there today. We appreciate that. Thanks for joining me. And we'll, I look forward to catching up with you in the future and hopefully working on some film projects with you in the future.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Let me just give a plug for flyfilmfest.com. If you want to see The Legend of Neckbeard, which you do, you need to go first to flyfilmfest.com, check the schedule, and make sure that you're able to hit a show nearest you, because you don't want to miss it. I mean, I know people that have watched it. Well, Paul Puckett told me he watched it 7 times already, so I'm pretty excited about it. You know?
Yeah.
That's 70 minutes out of his life that he spent watching Neckbeard. That's a lot. And it's the same thing over and over again. That's telling you something. So, if you want more Neckbeard, you want more of my beard, or you want to check out the Millennium Falcon, you can follow me on Instagram at Von Beardley. Kind of like Von Dutch, but Von Beardley. Pretty easy to find. Or you can just search Mark Crapo.
Nice. Thanks so much, Mark, for joining me today. My laugh quota, I'm good for probably another month now. So appreciate that. All right. Take care.
Mission accomplished. Over and out.